Blog Talk Radio.
November 3rd, 2022. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin, New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everybody. This is Laurie Pickett in Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well, and we're ready to go.
Yes, the number to call. We'd love to hear from everybody, whether in Ohio, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, New Mexico. You know, 515-605-9802, the number you call. We'd love to hear from everybody. We love hearing from people, even if you don't agree with us politically. This is America where freedom of speech reign. And if Republicans come into power, then we're fucked, basically. Okay, so before we get things started, we have three calls lined up. We want to say happy birthday and give our shout out to Rose in Ohio, originally from Pennsylvania. She's 29 years old for the past 20 years at least. So, you know, I hope she'll have a great birthday today. She's out having dinner with Mark, Natalie, and Jenny, her children. Yes, man. So we wish her all the best and hope she say many more birthdays. Yes, she's a wonderful person. Yes, yes. Again, when you call in, say your first name, where you're calling from. Thank you for sharing across social media. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Okay, so in 5 days' time, America will hold the most important election in the history of the Republic. Have you early voted? Have you mailed in your absentee ballot? Will you wait and vote on election day? What are your gut feelings on the U.S. midterm elections of 2022? Are you optimistic on Democrats' chances of increasing their majority in the House? Can Democrats get a foolproof majority in the U.S. Senate? How do races play out on statewide and local levels? If Democrats do win convincingly, should they end the filibuster? They did promise to codify word Roe versus Wade. What will happen if Republicans win the House? Will gridlock and childish partisan games continue under their watch? So, glad you could join us again. 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, where should we start? There's so many things to talk about tonight before we take these calls.
I think I'm going to start with one thing. We know that Elon Musk bought Twitter, you know, a week ago. It'll be a week tomorrow. And he just sent, after a week, he sent a memo to all his Twitter employees, and he is confirming plans for layoffs and ordering the temporary closure of all offices. And this is what it says. Elon Musk has broken silence. After 7 days of hearing nothing from the new boss, Twitter employees on Thursday received an email from the company confirming that there would be layoffs on Friday. It also said that all the company's offices were being temporarily closed and all badge access will be suspended. The note asked that employees in the office today begin to leave immediately. I mean, that is just, and this is what it said. It said, team, in an effort to place Twitter on a healthy path we will go through the difficult process of reducing our global workforce on Friday. We recognize that this will impact a number of individuals who may have valuable contributions to Twitter, but this action is unfortunately necessary to ensure the company's success moving forward. Given the nature of our distributed workforce and our desire to inform impacted individuals as quickly as possible, communications with this process will take place via email, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on November 4th. Everyone will receive an individual email with a subject line, your role at Twitter. Please check your email, including your spam folder. Boy, isn't that a nice guy? Wow.
Yeah, he's such an asshole. Yeah, he's such a douchebag. Unbelievable proportions. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is he all about? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I also read that AOC went to her Twitter feed and everything was deleted. All her comments from before have been deleted.
Mm-hmm.
So, Twitter's going to go down in flames. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, it can't happen soon enough.
515-605.
Mm-hmm. 515-605-9802 is the number you call. Say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 from Ohio. What's cooking tonight? Hello, caller. Can you hear me?
Hello.
I can hear you. This is Kelly from Michigan.
Oh,
Kelly,
Kelly
from Michigan. I keep saying Ohio. Sorry. Yeah, Kelly
it's
from
okay.
Michigan.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Oh,
excellent.
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So what's cooking tonight?
Mm-hmm. Well, Twitter. Oh, my gosh. That is going to go down. You can just call it one of those old-time social media companies that everybody's going to laugh at, you know. It's exactly what it's going to be.
Yep. Yeah, you know, $44 billion he had to play with, you know, and the first thing he does is cut jobs, you know, just like a true billionaire. It amazes me, you know.
It's the write-off.
Billionaire.
You got to write off. The rich people got to write something off, and that one's a write off for him.
Yep, exactly. So he's going to let Twitter burn, which really I don't care. I'm not a Twitter fan, never have been. But, you know, I know a lot of people really like Twitter, and I know a lot of my friends have messaged me and said they're getting out, they're just leaving, you know, because they don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, since he took over from Twitter as the owner, he's fired the whole board and a lot of anti-Semitism and a lot of N-word and racial epithets been used. You know, he has allowed Kanye West to come back on. And word has it that he's going to allow Donald Trump to come back on. When that happens, then that's when I say goodbye to Twitter. You know, what are your thoughts on that, really, you know?
I think that that's exactly what he has planned on doing. I think he will let the Orange Monster back on. I think he'll let Marjorie Taylor Greene back on and whoever else was suspended from that beautiful group of people, you know, that vile group. I think that's what his plan is to do. I don't think he cares one way or another. He is one of those spoiled billionaires. You know, I used to think that I didn't like Jeff Bezos as much, but you know what? I have to say this about Jeff Bezos. At least he stays out of politics. He minds his own business. It seems like he's been taking better care of his employees lately. But this guy here, he's like a spoiled child. That's all he is.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I hope Twitter goes down. And I hope he loses his $44 billion plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to go down a drain. So Michael Beschloss, say GOP, Michael Beschloss is a presidential historian. There was an article today in Smart News. He says that a GOP victory in midterms will mean our children will be arrested and conceivably killed.
You know, he said it Wednesday night, wonderful Republican candidates win their races. You know, American democracy really got on the drain. Do you think Republicans have a chance of winning the House? And do you think Democrats will lose seats in the U.S. Senate?
No and no. I'm going to be optimistic.
Right. I'm optimistic, too, because there's a lot of mail-in ballots they're not counting on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you better believe it. I think there was, I thought I read tonight, I want to say 42 million. I'll have to go back and look of mail-in ballots.
I've seen it.
I think there's going to be a problem in Florida. It sounds like the voting is down in Florida. I don't know if it's the hurricane, the gerrymandering. I don't know what's going on in Florida, but I am kind of worried about Florida. I'll be honest. I really am.
Yeah, yeah. In Florida, what's been happening is that former incarcerated people who serve the time, they got mail saying that, you know, this is your voter ID card, name, address, you know, and, you know, and the intention was to forgive them of what they did because they served the time and everything and put them back on the voter rolls.
Right.
And the poor people, thinking that it's okay for them to vote now, went to order vote, and about 20 of them were arrested by the election police, by Ron DeSantis. All of them is almost thrown out now because the different judges saying this is unconstitutional. How can you mail somebody something? And then when they do what, you know, is required of them, you're saying, you know, they're cheated by voting when they're not allowed to vote. So Florida's sending mixed messages, really. And you notice the people who got arrested was mostly African-Americans and minorities.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, I did. You're right. Yeah.
Let's bring in our next call from Michigan. Hello, Susie. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me? Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Okay, I guess it's not Susie.
That's
yes, person.
Susie, it's Elaine. Good evening, David.
Elaine.
Good evening,
Laurie.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, I guess I'm not about the name wrong.
I was thinking of all the people that are getting laid off at Twitter. Maybe they'll run to the polls and vote Democratic.
Yeah, you better believe it. They should.
They might. You know, this might be the callous or the for them to see the light.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time something evil like this happens, and maybe people will stop and think about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I constantly think about that, you know, people need to stop and think and pay attention. And I know that there are some of us that do pay attention on a daily basis. And some days it gets under my skin, and other days it's, you know, I want to know what's happening. So it's a double-edged sword. But yes, we have to keep our, you know, we have to understand what's going on, and we have to know that we need to win this election. This election is not just any old midterm election. This election is going to really show the world what we're made of, and our democracy is on the line. I don't know how else to put it. It is on the line.
I'm terrified.
We do not want, you know, the ultra-right to take over and, you know, start playing games with Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and anything that, you know, helpful, all the programs that are children's lunches and everything else that goes on in this country that helps to lift people up, they want to take away. And we can't allow that to happen. So if you know anyone that's on the fence, talk to them for 5 minutes and try to tell them, look, your democracy is at stake. If you care about the people that fought in the world, you know, in World War II and World War I, just to bring this country to what it is today, then you need to honor them and vote like their life depends on it, because it does. the future of this country is hanging in the balance. I don't know how else to say it. Except
you know, listen, I mean, who would be on the fence now, you know, when Republicans told you what they're about, you know, what they want to do, what they're going to do.
Yeah,
for example,
you're right.
if and when they win, you know, the first thing they'll do is, you know, impeach Joe Biden. On what grounds? I don't know. They're crazy.
Yeah.
Impeach Kamala Harris, elect Donald Trump. To be the Speaker of the House. I know, you know, the Speaker of the House is second in line, two heartbeats away from the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's just wrong right there. And they're going to have hearings after hearings about Hillary's emails. Again,
mm-hmm.
going to have, you know, talks about Joe Biden's son with his computer,
mm-hmm.
his laptop. Which they investigated that tons of times, nothing happened. So this is going to waste taxpayers'
mm-hmm.
money. Nothing going to be done.
Right.
Everything Joe Biden and
no.
Democrats try to work with them with, they'll say
yes.
no. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
their way or the highway, and that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how functioning
what
democracy
I don't
should
understand
happen.
Is Trump's family is so flawed, and they're out in the open about it. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name right now. My head is just spinning. The dark-haired one. He is
Donnie?
A coke addict. He's an idiot.
Oh, are you talking about Don Jr.?
You know, yeah, Don Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden's son. I mean, all of these deals that they did. And Kirchner. All this
mm-hmm.
money that they've taken. And
yeah.
they keep... perpetuating this lie, these lies over and over and over.
Well, that's part of their playbook, though. See, we have to remember that. I feel like the Democrats play catch up, and then because the Republicans always are on the same page as far as their messaging. They've always
mm-hmm.
been good at that. I've been saying it for years upon years. And until they catch on to the fact that you need to repeat certain things on a daily basis, you know, just like they do, you know, what are they talking about now? They're talking about crime, you know, and it's not in the blue state. Crime is in the red state,
mm-hmm.
but they make it
mm-hmm.
sound like it's a blue state problem. Right, David? Am I right about
yes,
that?
And
yes.
always got to keep
yes.
saying, yeah, okay, crime is up. That's true. Crime is up. Why? Because
what?
There's more guns on the street. We have to add
mm-hmm.
that sentence to it. And not argue
yeah.
about it. Just say, crime is up. We agree with you because there's more
it
guns
is.
On the street. Turn our back and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them
mm-hmm.
any room to add to their bullshit.
Well,
mm-hmm, exactly.
You know, that's how they roll, though. That's what I'm trying to explain. You know, that is how they roll. And, you know, the blue states are the ones that have less crime, and it's the red
mm-hmm.
states that have more crime. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, I can list them off for you, and I will, because you know what? It really
mm-hmm.
bothers me when they start talking about crime on a daily basis, and it's up in this country.
I saw the statistics today, and it is the red states that have the higher crime.
Yes. I'll name off a few. Mississippi, Louisiana, Kentucky, Alabama, Missouri, South Carolina, New Mexico, well, not New Mexico, but Georgia, Arkansas, and Tennessee. Those are the ones that, you know, have a rise in crime and crime, and they're all basically red states except for New Mexico. That one I don't understand. Can you explain that, David?
Well, we have a problem here in New Mexico in terms of heroin, methamphetamines, you know, drugs on
mm-hmm.
the whole. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's the main problem, the main concern, because,
okay.
You know, a lot of drug dealers, we're on the border of Mexico, you know. I'm not saying Mexicans
mm-hmm.
Are all
right.
bad people. Like any
mm-hmm.
country, every culture, there are good people and bad people. And
right,
because
of course.
This gang thing happening, you know, you have a lot
mm-hmm.
of turf wars and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Because just up the road from where I live, basically, you know, it's a people hundreds of people walking from there like zombies, you know, looking for the next fix. It was coming from the movies that are there. And,
wow.
You know, one lady was running. It was like, it was hot as hell. She was in like a track suit, bare feet, running. And she just jumped in my car.
Wow.
I was like, what the hell is happening? So, oh, well, they're after me. They want to kill me. I'm like, are you on meth? She's like, yeah, yeah. Could you drop me off up the road? And, you know, me and him drove over a place saying, okay, yeah, well, I could drop you off here now. And as, when we dropped her off, I'm thinking, like, Jesus Christ, suppose she had a knife or something, you know?
Yeah, that wasn't
too
smart.
Well, you know, it happened in just a millisecond, you know, that, you know, that, it just caught us off guard, basically. So now, you know, we'll go to have the doors locked and everything because a lot of crazy people out there, man. Let's join, this St. Louis, Missouri call calling in. Let's just get this person in conversation.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
How you doing,
Missouri?
Jamaica?
This good, is Pionk. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Hey.
Pionk, P-I-A-N-K-I, Bankole, Yoruba.
How are you tonight?
But somebody said that blue states, red states have all the crime.
Not all the crime. Not I didn't. Those were not my words.
Let me tell you what's going
not
on.
All the crime.
You got these red states.
Yeah.
You got these red states. That's got these blue city, where it's blacks that's committing all these crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. You take St. Louis. You take St. Louis. You may. You said Tennessee, Memphis. You got Jackson, Mississippi. You got Philly. Now, even talking, you know, if you were to take out the five cities in this country that's in these red states, if you took out Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, and New Orleans, rather than being the third most murderers in the world, United States was out of the 193. United States would slip all the way down to 189. It's these blue cities with these black populations. And I ain't saying that they all, but they the majority. White women, when they report rape, 30% of the time, the attacker is a black male, just like we just had in New York with that jogger who was let out of jail. So that's the problem. That's the crime. So
no, but Pionke, where are you getting your statistics from?
Yeah, where?
That is black
really,
men, you know.
Well, one, I live them. I know the statistics in Chicago and St. Louis. The statistics in Chicago was reported by the Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, and ABC 7 Chicago. And I didn't even mention Chicago. Chicago have these super amounts of shootings going on. The shooting is so bad in the city of Chicago that kids go to school with bulletproof backpacks and they run zigzag on the sidewalk just in case bullets are coming. And that is the truth. Just Google it. 4,800.
You know,
hang on for a second. 4,845 in 2020, 4,666 in 2021, in 2020, 745 murders, 2021, 643 murders. These are blacks shooting blacks. No white police officer shot anybody. Matter of fact, Lori Lightfoot in Chicago said the police can't even chase anybody. And I asked, well, what about the police dogs? What are they going to do, catch Uber to go after somebody?
Okay, so my solution to that, the violence in Chicago and wherever else, why not have better gun control? That would be a good thing, right? You know, stronger gun control laws. That
Chicago
know,
got
you...
the most strictest gun control laws in the country. What's your name again? You from New
David.
Mexico? David.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago has the most strictest gun controls in the country. Matter of fact, they are not reciprocal hauling to nobody for the simple reason because they got 16 hours requirement for class. If you got a bullet in your pocket, you better have a license to for a gun that bullet fits in Chicago. So that ain't the problem. The problem is deeper than that. You had over 3,000 blacks, millionaires, move off of Lakeshore Drive, escaping the crime. Lakeshore Drive overlooks the lake. So it's just terrible there. It is just totally terrible.
It is not there. I've been to Chicago so many times. It's not funny. It is not terrible there like you're describing. You don't
need to live anywhere. It's so bad that Lori Lightfoot want to keep the Bears, the Chicago Bears,
please,
from leaving. She wants to put a dome over Soldier's Field. But that ain't the reason. She want to put the dome over Soldier's Field to keep falling bullets from killing people in the crowd.
Okay, so let's go on to something else. I don't want to talk about
that. I went to a concert in Chicago at Soldier's Field. My daughter and I, we walked. We walked back to the train station. I never felt
Well, I tell you what, you was lucky.
So
you should have went and bought a lottery ticket.
I don't understand.
I don't understand.
David, give me your email
we
address.
The train and we sat
David.
In front of the train station all night.
David, give me your email. And you know another thing that's bad.
Make sure
you know another thing that's bad
in
these parks.
The train station were safe.
I understand. You're in the train station. But you know another thing that's bad in these parks? When black males are in the park playing with their kids, taking pictures of birds, you got these Karens that come up and call the police on them. You know what the Karens are, don't you? White women.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
So that ain't safe. David, give me your email, and I'll send you the newspaper article. I'll send you the Department of Justice report.
But the thing is, Pianke, the topic today is 5 days until normal.
Yeah.
Do you think Democrats will Democrats
Well,
win
one of the issues why come Democrats are having these problems is because of the crime. That's the issue. Even blacks are escaping them. It's because of the crime.
What solution do the Republicans have? What is their solution?
The solution is that you need to let lawful, abiding Americans have their weapons to protect themselves. Because the police can't do it.
Pianke, you don't need that.
At that, jogger, you had two cases.
It's the United States Constitution.
But I'm saying this. United States citizens have a protected right by the U.S. Constitution from the federal government and the Bill of Rights from the state. And it says in the Second Amendment, you know what it says. It shall not be infringed. It's as clear as day. And when you take the Bill of Rights, can I finish saying what I got to say?
Nobody needs an AR-15 to defend a home or the family.
Everybody should have a cap and ball gun.
Well, I'm a black man. I got a license to carry. I'm black and I got a license to carry. My family is black. They got a license to carry.
What's your problem? Can I ask you a question? What does the color of your skin have to do with you having a license to carry? I mean,
because in Chicago they say they don't let blacks have licenses to carry.
Say what?
They say blacks have a difficult time of getting a license to carry.
I don't know.
I don't buy that.
Well,
you don't buy it, but that's what they say.
That's not here nor there.
Where is here?
We need better, stricter gun laws.
No, we don't need no stricter gun laws. This is the way it works.
No,
okay,
just,
when the ban AR-15s, listen, when the Bianca, when the ban AR-15s, crime went down.
AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle.
Automatic weapons. When Bill Clinton,
it's not an automatic weapon, but you can get an automatic weapon if you pay for the stamp, which is about $400.
The ban assault weapons and crime.
So that's
going to
be the big issue in this election. One of the big talking points is the crime. The crime is completely off the books. It's the kind of white kids. You had a white young man, high school football player, that was shot dead on the parking lot there in Georgia by two black kids. This is ridiculous.
Why don't you worry about your own state? You let the state control what the problem is. Okay, enough.
I'm down here in Louisiana, and you can't go in New Orleans. You had some poor white woman, her car, you had a poor elderly white woman who was carjacked, and the kids drove off with her car
where
she hanging on, and it snatched her arm off, and it killed her.
That was a program that was on TV yesterday.
That wasn't no program.
Lie, deny,
and evade.
I would like to change the topic because I can see that there is no.
No, we're talking about next Tuesday's elections. That's one of the focal points. It's crime.
Solution is
okay, then here's another solution. Joe Biden needs to be impeached. He goes to China and tries to bargain off our election for China, not China, Saudi Arabia to start increasing its oil. That there is an impeachable offense.
But Trump didn't cut no deals with Saudi Arabia.
What are you talking about? Trump is not president.
Trump didn't cut no deals with Saudi Arabia.
Trump is not president.
Trump cut deals with Saudi Arabia.
Trump is not president. Hillary Clinton cut deals with Saudi Arabia also.
I have a question to ask.
Go ahead, David.
Can
you ever get them to shut up so I can hear you?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can you explain the $2 billion that Jared Kushner get? Wasn't that cutting some deal with Saudi Arabia?
I don't know. What about the deal when Joe Biden says you're not getting the check unless you fire the prosecutor? That's investigating Hunter Biden. It's on YouTube.
And nothing came of it, man.
On YouTube. Listen to him. Just like Will Smith smacked Chris Rock, he should have been prosecuted for assault.
Nothing.
We're talking about next Tuesday. We're not talking about guns. We're talking about the election.
What are we talking about? The election? Let's talk about the election. This gentleman
was
just thinking
about I said the main thing about one of the main things about the election. One of the main things about the election is crime.
No, it is not.
Okay. I'll send you an email.
Crime and inflation.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling
me. Give me your
email.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's Pianke in St. Louis, Missouri. A black Republican. Okay, so where were we? We're talking about elections. So what do you think the scenario is going to be if the Republicans win in November, on November 8th?
What do I think is going to happen if the Republicans get the House and the Senate? I don't know.
Yes.
I guess I'm going to have to build a fort around my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry for the dogs making so much noise.
That's okay.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
The puppies, mm-hmm. the puppies know we're getting unnerved, I guess.
Yeah. So what's the worst-case scenario, you think? Worst-case scenario if Republicans take control.
I don't even want to think about it.
We don't need
to. Go on, Lori.
There is no worst because they have no bottom, David. So I can't explain what the worst case scenario would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They will try to undo everything that Joe Biden and his administration has worked on for the past year since he's been president.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
everything
mm-hmm.
will unravel, and yes, they will have tried to impeach him, Kamala Harris. I mean, the whole – it will be just a circus. In D.C., and that's the only thing that I can call it, is a fascist circus, that way. I don't know how else to put it. So I don't want to think in those terms. You know, I want, you know, I want, you know, I want our candidates that are trying to bring change and make a better life for people in this country to win the seat, because they are the ones that are going to work to make it better for the population, and it needs to be better. Now, they want everyone to think that, you know, where that there's crime, there's inflation, you know. But the thing is that all those things are global. Well, the crime, we can talk about another time, because that's multifaceted. And by the way, an AR-15, I'm sorry, is a semi-automatic weapon of destruction. It should not be on the streets. I don't care what anybody says. That's my view, and no one will ever change my mind. But, you know, as far as inflation goes, that is a global problem, and we've heard that many times. It is global. And, you know, and the president is doing everything that he can to bring prices down. But when you have corporations that are making billions of dollars in profit because they can, and they can use inflation as their excuse, why not? Why not?
Right. Right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, the number to call, again, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that Kathy calls back from Michigan. She hung up the phone when the brouhaha started. Number to call, 515-605-9802. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. And we're cooking tonight. Hell yeah, we're cooking. Because Democrats, I feel, going to increase their majority in the Senate. We just need 2 Senate seats for a foolproof majority. And when that happens, hopefully they get rid of the filibuster. They did say that they were to codify Roe versus Wade. You know, and other good things will happen with a Democratic Congress, both in the House and the Senate. Now, the close races. In Michigan 9, for example, Brian Jay is giving McClain a run for a money. McClain is a congresswoman who is a rubber stamp for Donald Trump when he was president. She has no experience prior to holding the office. She's a multimillionaire. Her campaign is being donated to by big corporations. You know, so basically she bought the seat.
Betsy DeVos,
you know? Yeah, better. Yeah, she's in the palm of Betsy DeVos, basically. You know, Carl Malinga in Michigan 10. J.D. Vance versus Congressman Ryan in Ohio for the governorship. I don't understand why, you know, Tim Ryan is 2 to 3 points ahead. Why? Because the GOP and outside interests of super PACs putting in 12, 13, 14, $50 million in J.D. Vance's campaign. And J.D. Vance, sure, what a fool he is. Because, you know, a couple of weeks back when Trump went to Ohio for this rally, he said, oh, look at J.D. standing over there. You know, he kisses my ass. You know, I mean, that's not having dignity or self-respect. So, you know, if he's elected governor of Ohio, God forbid, he'd be Donald Trump's stooge.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Can you imagine being introduced? You're running for office and you're introduced by the orange monster who says, oh, yeah, he loves me. He kissed my ass. And then you walk up and shake his hand? I mean, what kind of dignity is that?
You know, he's like, oh, yes, I'm happy to be here. You know, Jesus, Lord, get some self-respect, man.
Exactly.
You know? You know?
That just shows you what kind of person he is. It truly
no
does.
No backbone.
If you don't have self-respect, then, you know, who are you going to have self-respect for? Another person? I don't think so.
Right.
So he only respects maybe the office that he might get, and then he'll have to kiss the orange monster's ass more.
I don't understand all these carpetbaggers running. We've got James in Michigan doesn't live in the area. We've got Dr. Oz doesn't even live in the state he's running in. What the heck is going on?
How does that happen? I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't understand how, but it's it looks like Fetterman is 5 points above Oz right now. He's leading by 5 points is what I last read, 49-44. I don't know how accurate that is. You know, I don't know how accurate that is. What other race are you talking about, David?
You know, like the New Mexico governor's race, Mark Ronchetti, the MAGA Republican versus the incumbent Democrat, Michelle Lujan Grisham. She is like 2 points ahead, so it's a statistical dead heat. And New Mexico is a very blue state, you know.
Yes.
So people are wondering why. What's up with that? She's done a good job. You know, she's protected women's rights to choose what to do with their bodies. You know, she has done so many things for this great state, you know, made a lot of people, you know, on the health insurance rolls. She, you know, she raised the pay for teachers in public schools. You know, she's put money in public schools. Mark Ronchetti want to get rid of that, you know, defund public schools, fund private schools. And she's one of the governors in the whole United States who have increased police spending on police, giving them money for the resources that we need. You know, so, you know, and Mark Ronchetti is probably worse than J.D. Vance in terms of kissing Trump's ass. He's running on his daddy's money. He has no experience. He'll talk a good game, but when he goes in, he'll just mess everything up because that's what Republicans tend to do.
Yeah. Well, here in Michigan, we have a similar situation, you know, and I'm going to go back to the beginning because when at first when they when Tudor Dixon came into the picture, she is running against the popular Gretchen Whitmer. It's funny because they both have dark hair. They both have the same hairstyles. Tudor Dixon basically cleaned up her act, and she dresses very much like, you know, like Gretchen now when she's on stage. It's hysterical because what she's trying, what they're trying to do is mirror her, trying to say that to Gretchen, you know. And the thing is that she is a Betsy DeVos lackey, and she has said it in the past. She has been bankrolled by her. And so she is for families, is what she says. But how can you be for families if you are definitely anti-abortion, even if you're for rape and incest? How can that help any family? So, you know, she talks out of both sides of her mouth. And the race here is it's closer than I would like to see. I didn't look at today's polls, but it is closer than I would like to see, and I don't like it. And I don't understand the mentality, or maybe it's that who's taking, you know, taking the polls. We had a discussion about this last time, and I don't like to look at polls, but just the way that they have marketed her, it's so unbelievable, you know, how they have polished her up. That's the only thing that I can say. And she has no experience, David. No experience. And she
is
being funded by the Doss family, yes.
Yeah, Tudor Dixon is a conspiracy theorist. And
yes, she is.
She was saying that the South won the Civil War or some rubbish like that recently, and Barack Obama called her out on it. What was that about?
Yeah, you know, the things that come out of their mouth are basically what comes out of the mouth of every single one of them that are running for office. They all basically have the same marching orders when they're talking, and nothing that makes any sense. Oh, crime is up. Oh, you know, your kids are being, you know, indoctrinated in schools, and they're being, you know, taught all these crazy things. And, you know, it's just all fear-mongering. Has she put forward any plan? No. There's no plan. There is no plan. No plan that's come out of her mouth. So, and our governor has done a fantastic job. She's done a fantastic job. You know, during the pandemic, she had a rough time. It was hard. And, you know, they're holding her to the fire because of, you know, the restrictions. But the whole country was on restrictions. People have short memory, very short memory.
The Republican voter does not have a solution. You talk to the average Republican voter and you say to them, what is it that you want? Well, she did, she did, she did. Okay. What is Ms. Dixon going to do? She did, she did, she did. They have no solution. I don't understand the mindset of the Republican voter. The Republican voter used to have a half a brain.
You know, she was a conservative. She was a conservative commentator, and you know, she opposed measures to lower prescription drug prices. She she opposes extending health care subsidies to working families. She opposes efforts to cap the cost of insulin at $35 for seniors. So how is that families? Tell me how that has anything to do with helping a family. It doesn't.
You mean family values? Family values is your uterus. That's the only family values they have.
Yes,
between your legs. And that's putting it rather roughly, but that's saying the truth.
So on the line we'll have Kelly. We'll have Kelly and we'll have Susan on the line. But let me play this Barack Obama clip mocking Tudor Dixon. At a rally recently.
There's a video came out of Governor Whitmer's opponents claiming that Democrats have been working for decades to topple the United States because they're still upset about losing the Civil War. And COVID restrictions were part of some master plan to do this. Now, first of all, what?
I know. Love that guy.
So true.
Having to watch Tiger King in our sweatpants was somehow some kind of government plot. Imagine if she spent some time coming up with some ideas to create more jobs here in Michigan, or to give folks more health care, or to improve our schools. That's what you want from the governor of your state.
Yes, indeed. That was October 29th, Barack Obama speaking in Michigan. And today, Governor Grisham, Lujan Grisham from New Mexico was touring New Mexico with President Biden, so the traffic was hell today. Yeah, but, you know, Kelly, what do you think about, you know, that little thing that Barack Obama said? What's your thoughts on Tudor Dixon?
Tudor Dixon, first of all, I don't know who she is at all. And they said that she was some TV personality. So for where? Just the Grand Rapids area or just the DeVos TV? And I don't get where she's come from. But by the way, why is it, Lori, you can maybe answer this, but every time she's on TV or she speaks, she dresses and talks just like Gretchen, exactly like her.
Even her mannerism.
I don't. Exactly.
Even her mannerism. I am telling you, it is the freakiest thing. That is the one thing that I noticed when I first saw her. I thought, my God, they got someone almost cloning. They're cloning her. I mean, the debate, she was really cleaned up and makeup and the whole nine yards. It's amazing what a little bit of money will do, huh? It's amazing.
So 300 candidates are on the slate at different levels, from governor right down to civic council person, who said that election was stolen across the country, from Alaska to Wyoming. If these people get into power to run for Secretary of State and Attorney General, we'll have two of them in Michigan again that run against, what's her name, against
it's
Benson.
Behind,
Yes, Susie, go ahead.
Oh, my husband was looking for something in the fridge. bottom drawer. Okay. She doesn't have any experience whatsoever in government. She didn't even do school board or counselor, I mean, city council or anything. She is not a lawyer. How in the hell is she going to be governor?
She's a businesswoman.
She will be today. Gretchen has climbed away from her again in the polls.
What kind of business does she have? None.
She worked at her dad's factory. Big deal.
Yeah. Yep.
Her dad had a factory, and she was on the floor. Whoopee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what they're touting her as, a businesswoman.
She worked for her old man. That's all she did.
She worked for her father. He had some kind of a steel factory. And from what I understand, it went belly up anyways. I don't even think it's in business anymore.
Right. And she's
I worked for my husband's factory. That didn't make me material for
governor.
I mean, give me a break.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
She's not. She is just.
She hasn't even volunteered anywhere.
I think she's just the talking point for DeVos. That's all.
Exactly.
DeVos is obsessed with getting the money out of the public schools and putting it into private schools, and that's all she's interested in. And she found somebody that is her talking head.
Yep. That's basically it.
Bought and paid for.
That's exactly it. Yep.
And they all, if you notice, it's not just Dixon. I'm seeing it in so many of these high-profile races. The Republican Party has one standard talk. They're not telling you what their plans are to make anything better. They're just pointing out like a needle in the haystack of problems.
Yep.
I know. All they do is have these horrible ads on TV saying all these horrible things, but none of them say, I'll do this for you. I'll make things better. Have you saw one commercial that said what they're going to do? All they do is call names and say horrible lies about their opponent.
No. Mm-hmm. You know, the president has been asking the oil companies for how many weeks now to please don't price gouge consumers with gas pricing. You know, you've made billions.
Oprah just endorsed Fetterman.
You know, made billions.
Breaking news. Oprah just endorsed Fetterman.
Oh, really? Oprah Winfrey. Wow, nice. Good.
Watching TV and listening at the same time. Breaking news.
Go ahead, Kelly.
You're welcome.
No, I think that's great. I just love that Oprah's going to – I'm glad she spoke out against Dr. Oz, too. There needs to be a lot. I really love that Liz Cheney came to Michigan and talked for Liz Slotkin. You know, that was – that just shocked Michigan. That shocked the TV stations. And I'm like, see, this is what we need.
But there's not enough of
that. What do you ladies think about the Michigan Chamber of Commerce endorsing Tudor Dixon? It happened a couple of days back.
Why are they talking politics? Not any business should talk about politics.
The thing is, it's the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. They usually do vote. They usually lean Republican. And, you know, when I think about that, I just think of, you know, tax cuts. That's basically it.
That's all they
know.
Care about. And
that's
I'm so glad I'm not in the chamber anymore.
You
I was
know.
In it for over
so
18 years.
So,
yeah.
You know, basically that, you know, that's how that works.
They go on the party line. Yeah, they're looking for tax break and no regulation. That's all they care about.
Yes, ma'am. So Susan, question.
What?
What's his name? That fella, Elon Musk, took over Twitter. Are you on Twitter? And what do you think will happen to Twitter since this is like a cesspool now of anti-Semitism, racism? You know, what's your thoughts on Twitter?
I've never been on Twitter. I don't care about Twitter. I don't even go on Facebook hardly at all. And Musk is an asshole. He's so full of himself. He thinks he knows everything, but he's a moron. And I hope it goes down the tubes because he really screwed up on this one.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, imagine spending $44 billion for it to go to the toilet, which it's going down rapidly because a lot of
it couldn't happen
Hollywood
to a nicer guy.
Yeah,
exactly.
No kidding.
Yes, ma'am. So,
I was really missing Obama. I loved his speeches and his stumps, and he talked right to the point. That's the problem with the Democrats. They don't come out and say enough of what they've already done. You know, the infrastructure bill and helping during the COVID and helping schools and all these things. They're not saying enough of that, you know. And then they're getting hammered by the Republicans on all their ads that, they defund cops. No, they haven't. And they want to take away all our guns. No, they don't. Only machine guns that you don't have any right to have. And the Second Amendment was written during the 1776 when they had muzzleloaders, and it was for a militia to fight the British. So it's got nothing to do with what the machine guns and pistols and crap they got now. It's got nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
But, you know.
So that well-regulated militia was these plantation owners had like a strike force to keep the slaves in line. That was the well regulated militia. If you dig into
it, was against the British too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so ladies, I want to focus now on Ohio and Congressman Jim Jordan. He serves as a ranking Republican member of the House Judiciary Committee. He wrote the Department of Justice and FBI and put them on notice this past Wednesday, detailing potential investigations if Republicans reclaim the House majority, and he's given a powerful gavel of the Judiciary Committee if and when Republicans come to power. So in this letter sent days before the November midterms, it was sent Wednesday, yesterday, he sent Attorney General Merrick Garland and the FBI Director Christopher Wray. He reiterated a wide range of requests Republicans have made over the last year. Jordan also calls on both officials to produce a long list of documents by November 16th and instructs them to preserve documents as well. To Ray, Jordan said Republicans will seek to, quote, examine the politicization and bias at the FBI, including into the 118th Congress if necessary. From re-upping a March request for a staff briefing about the status of FBI pipe bombing investigations to seeking to obtaining all documents and communications related to the search warrant that was authorized to search former President Donald Trump's residence, Jordan's letter summarizes all requests committee Republicans have made to the agency. So, Lori, you know, what's your take on this guy, Jordan from Ohio?
Jordan from Ohio is my least favorite person. He's basically stirring the pot before the pot boils over, and he is basically telling us what we talked about in the very beginning of the program, that they intend to turn D.C. into a surface. And, you know, to write that to Garland after he knows, you know, what happened. And I would bet my life that Jim Jordan was part of the January 6th planning. Or he knew about it in prior. I would bet my life on it. So, you know, it's all going to be a waste of time. And it's only being done to get closer to 2024 and, you know, what can happen there. It's all insanity. And there is not a word about what they're going to do for the country. Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. I know Jim Jordan, ever since he's been in Congress, he has done nothing. I mean, nothing. No co-sponsored bill, no putting in a bill forward. You know, nothing. You know, he just sits there in committees as ranking member, stir the pot, and gets his paycheck, and he does nothing. Marsha Taylor Greene, she's suspended over all her committee assignments because of her racism and anti-Semitism. Lauren Boebert is about to lose her district seat, hopefully, in Colorado. A lot of them hanging in the balance. And Matt Gaetz was the most disappointing one because I don't know why Democrats didn't pursue this, where, you know, he carried underage girls across state lines to have relations with them, and nothing coming out of it. Why? Did his daddy drop some heavy money in all the right places? So these Republicans talk a good game about family values and everything. Look on Marjorie Taylor Greene, divorcing her husband and hooking up with a conservative right-wing nut, a conspiracy QAnon theorist. You know, I can't remember his name now. I mean, but to each their own, you know, your private life is your private life. Good. That's all good. But when you're touting family values and Christianity and everything, cut the crap, cut the bullshit. Want to know what you're about, Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Exactly. She's a public figure, though. I mean, she's a public, you know, she's a public figure. And she's always touted, like you said, family values and Christian values and all of that. And she's out and about with, and his name is, I'm trying to see who he is. They were, let me see, Marjorie Taylor Greene and the right-wing reporter Brian Glenn, schmoozing at rallies, dining as in driving to her Georgia home with his suitcase in her SUV last week, but he insists he was never there. And they have pictures of them going back and forth. And like, you know, like you, David, I really don't care what she does in her personal life, but the thing is that she is a member, you know, she's supposed to be a public figure, and this is not how you act as a public figure. She's not doing her job. I mean, that's for sure, you know. So they've been they've been inseparable last week in her adopted hometown of Rome, Georgia. She picked him up in her black SUV, showed him around her town, dined out with him several times, and he even accompanied her to her rallies. Her husband, of course, as we all know, filed for divorce. But Glenn insisted that he and Green are not romantically involved, that she is not the reason for his split. And she said the only passion he and Green share is for conservative Christian politics.
That whole thing about Christian conservatives, really what it is corporations buying the politicians that they can control so they can make this ridiculous profit, even saying that it's because of inflation, but it isn't. It is greed. They're bought and paid for. All of them, pharmas, gas companies, all these big corporations bought the politicians, and I keep on saying this, but the Supreme Court screwed it up when they changed the law. When my husband had a factory, they could not, this was years, you know, before, could not give more than $2,400 to a politician a year. And, mm-hmm. you know, how much influence can you buy for that? Not much, but when you can do millions and millions, and they're spending, what was it, over $18 billion on these midterms?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. It's,
well,
it's
remember
so,
Romney's comment? Corporations are people, too.
Yeah, that's what they said.
But that's,
yeah.
Come down the tube.
That's mm-hmm. exactly right. They screwed up, and I don't know how we can change it because now all of them, even Democrats, are, you know, they're influenced by money. It's just they
mm-hmm.
get more things done than the Republicans. But we got to change things because this is going to shit in the handbasket,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yes, it is.
So the other thing
is, go ahead, Lori.
Well, I was just going to just go through. Michael Moore has basically predicted a blue tsunami, and
mm-hmm.
he has made this list, and I just love the list because it's just really quick, but he calls it the Republican vote tracker. And so this is what he says. 100% voted against cheaper gas. 100% voted against cheaper insulin. 100% voted against cheaper RX drug prices. 100% voted against child tax credits. 100% voted against stimulus checks. 100% voted against writing acts, gerrymandering, climate change, prosecuting rich tax cheats, saving Roe versus Wade, banning assault rifles, fighting domestic terrorism, keeping birth control legal, voted against background checks, voted against
mm-hmm.
more baby formula, stopping domestic violence, voted against veterans' cancer care, voted against same-sex marriage, and upholding the election. I mean, these
mm-hmm.
are all things that they have voted against, and not one of those things. That's not a lie. That's all true. That's all true.
Mm-hmm.
Every bit of
it. Why don't they publicize this? This is what pisses me off. That should be run on an ad every freaking day on TV.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, I got to tell you guys. Okay, so I watch the Lansing News, Channel 6. I don't know if you ladies
mm-hmm.
know who that is or what it is, but it's
no.
noon today. Okay, I'm sitting there and I'm eating my lunch and I'm watching it, and they're talking about the Republicans are gaining because of they have, this is how they said it, because they have stated about crime, the inflation, and gas prices. And I'm waiting
mm-hmm.
and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. They move on to something else. Well, I get on social media. I found who that person is. The broadcaster was, and I went on her Facebook page and I private messaged, I DM'd her, and I said, why can't you guys explain how that's false?
Mm-hmm.
You bragged about it, but yet you can't say that it's a global problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is not
mm-hmm.
that high crime in this state. Why did you not do that? Well, we can't do that because of our national, you know, our TV station doesn't allow us to do that. I mean, I got correspondence back and forth. I said, but see, this is the problem in America. This is the problem.
Yep. Well, that's a soundbite. And people, and that, you know, and we've talked about this before, haven't we, David? The soundbites.
Yeah.
The soundbites
mm-hmm.
work. You know, soundbites
yeah.
work. You know, the little click words, the soundbite words, you know, the
mm-hmm.
inflation word, you know. The higher gas price word, you know. Yes, that is all true. And I remember President Biden the other day was on there, and he was talking about, you know, once again, please don't raise the gas prices. He's asking these oil companies to be nice. And guess what? Our gas is up to $4.19 here in Michigan. It went up.
Overnight almost.
It went up like 60 cents overnight. No, not overnight.
Yep.
Within a few hours after he made
yep,
that statement, they all raised their gas prices out here.
Mm-hmm,
it's so maddening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these corporations are fighting against democracy as well. Think about it.
I know they're pissed at him because he said, if you keep this up, I'm going to charge you tax on your profit.
Yeah, and so what
and they have record profits.
Later?
They never had this big of a profit ever. And they're taking, you know, they're screwing the little people as usual.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I want to focus now on these eight races that are too close to call. Starting with Georgia, Herschel Walker. Looking at this poll from Real Clear Politics, saying he's up by one percentage point. If that's an upset victory, you know, do you think he has a ghost of a chance of beating Raphael Warnock to begin with? Start with you, Lori, and then and Eileen.
I don't see. Okay, my logical mind says no. You cannot win because you have no policy. You have no experience. This is you were put up there as another puppet, just like here in Michigan. And but then again, you know, I don't know. I don't know who's voting. I don't know who these people listen to. It's Georgia.
Yeah. Because you know what? The third party candidate is polling 6% and taken away from Herschel Walker and Warnock. So neither Democrat nor Republican running the race. We have a 50% to get them over. So if nobody gets 50%, a December 6th runoff will happen. You know, and you know, yeah, that's what's going on now. And Herschel Walker is basically playing Donald Trump playbook. You know, about lying, you know, just talking crap. The more crap he speaks, the higher his percentage points go up in the polls. Pennsylvania, as Elaine said, that Oprah Winfrey just endorsed as his opponent. Elaine, tell me, you know, what's your thoughts on the Pennsylvania race?
You mean on Herschel Walker? I think he's going to go down in a blaze.
Okay. How about, Pennsylvania?
You
think Fetterman's debate struggles actually matter?
I think the ministers are going to set the people straight. There was one minister that I found on Facebook, and he told his congregation the facts, that Herschel Walker is not a leader. I mean, I'm polite about it. This is a radio program. But this minister was very, very point blank and very factual to his congregation that Herschel Walker would do anybody any good. And so I think people are tired of being polled.
Herschel Walker.
Statistics. You can make statistics come out any way you want if you know how to manipulate the numbers. And
Herschel Walker said today he'll put up his record against Barack Obama's record any day. What record is he talking about? This is the maddening shit I'm talking about. You know, his imaginary thing.
Oh, my God.
About his record. What fucking record? Seriously. You know?
his football
what record?
He's
help me understand, man.
His football record. I don't know.
FBI.
I remember the
record
video
of an imaginary FBI agent or an astronaut. You know, which career Herschel Walker talking about. You know, the man is crazy. He's soft in the head. Instead of getting help for this man, Republicans want to put him in the U.S. Senate. Come on, Republicans. MAGA Republicans, what's wrong with you? Seriously.
It's crazy.
They're using him.
Yes.
They're
using
him. And that's pathetic. That is absolutely
that's what they're
pathetic.
Doing.
Mr. Warnock is a fine man. He's a good man, And he mm-hmm. has done mm-hmm. a lot in the short time that he has served, and he deserves mm-hmm. to be back.
I
yes,
agree.
Yes. Okay, on to Pennsylvania now, Mehmet Oz versus John Fetterman. John Fetterman mm-hmm. had a stroke, and do you think his debate struggles actually matter to the voters of Pennsylvania when it comes down to it? Susie, what's your take?
Fetterman's got to win. Oz is a slime bucket. You know, he has no political background. He sells, you know, potions and snake oil. And
mm-hmm.
I don't understand how they even let him run when he isn't even from Pennsylvania and just moved there for running for office. So, you know, Fetterman has a track record. He's really good at what he does. So what if he can't speak really well? Have you listened to the orange one? He doesn't speak well at all or make any sense
mm-hmm.
either. And he
right.
didn't have
yeah.
a stroke. No,
exactly.
Fetterman will be good. I hope he wins. I'm praying that he wins because we need him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Exactly.
I saw both TV and read an article on social media that Pennsylvania is going purple, that there is going to be a record number of ticket splitters. So Fetterman
mm-hmm.
just might make it. I
mm-hmm.
don't see any reason
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't.
Yeah. There is a poll here that I'm reading. He's up by 4 points. You see that, David?
No.
Up by four? Good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember, people, Dr. Oz is a puppy murderer, okay? And he's a snake oil salesman, basically. Give him enough
yep.
money, he'll pitch your product. He has no integrity.
Yep.
You know, and he's a Donald Trump stooge, basically. And if the person who gave him his big break, Oprah Winfrey, just endorsed John Fetterman, his opponent, that's saying a lot right there because, you know, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Oz has 9 mansions in New Jersey, and the only reason, I'm told, that
yep.
he comes to Pennsylvania is to see his in-laws. You know, he has no roots in Pennsylvania, so he has no business running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania.
No, he does not.
I wish he
yeah,
should have done it a couple of weeks sooner and came out
yeah.
because a lot of the people mailed in their ballots already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a deadline
mm-hmm.
of last week. So if she would have done it a week sooner, she would have caught more
mm-hmm.
of the mail-in people, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, another race that experts are calling a toss-up because it's too close to call right now is in Nevada. Will Latino voters oust America's Latina senator, Democratic senator, her name was Catherine Cortez Mesto, won an election for Congress in 2016 as the country's first ever Latina senator. Now she's viewed as the most at-risk candidate this year, and Latino voters may help sink her bid for re-election. You know, Democrats have been losing ground to Latinos in years, especially in Florida, in part because many prefer conservative policies on abortion and immigration. But it's a struggling economy, or so they say. The most important issue for every demographic, according to polls, if you were to believe polls, which is most damaging to Democrats. So Nevada, which relies so much on the riches generated in Las Vegas and Reno, where the gambling is, was particularly
mm-hmm.
hit by the pandemic. So Republicans are
mm-hmm.
hoping voters punish the Democrats who are in power now. If they do, then Anam Lex Salt, the 44-year-old Republican candidate running against Catherine Cortez Mesto, could follow in the footsteps
mm-hmm.
of his father and grandfather, who both served in the United States Senate. He's endorsed by Donald Trump, again, an ex-MAGA Republican, and backed
yeah.
by the ex-president on unfounded claims that the 2020 elections were stolen. So, you know, do you think Republicans will win the seat in Nevada? Start with you, Lori.
You know, Nevada has got me kind of mind-boggled. I think that basically, isn't it normally a Republican state? I hope.
No, purposely. Purposely.
It's It's purple. Okay. I don't know much about Nevada, to be honest with you, but I hope Democrats win there. I do. I do hope. I am just kind of hoping that people have common sense.
Yeah. Well, common sense is not so common. Yeah. But I want to thank Kathy for calling in today. She has to go and everything. Thank you for listening to us and contributing. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Elaine, what's your thoughts on Nevada? And then we'll get a perspective from Susie.
Well, if anybody is listening from Nevada, how could you vote for anybody that Donald Trump wants when you wouldn't even give him a casino license because you know that he runs a casino into bankruptcy? So that's my message to the people in Nevada. How could you vote for anybody that he endorses?
Yeah.
Exactly. And he's endorsed by mobsters. You know, let's put it out there.
Yeah, yes. He is. He absolutely is.
So if anybody's listening to Nevada, please think about it.
Yeah.
How would Donald Trump know who's better when he runs a casino into the ground and you wouldn't give him a casino license?
Exactly. That's my take on it. Yeah, Susan, what's your take?
I really don't know that the politics of Nevada, but I want the Democrat to win. And if the other person is endorsed by Trump, why would you? Why would you vote for them?
The mob ties Trump, exactly.
Well, you know, Trump is a wannabe anyway. He thinks he's a mobster. He doesn't pay his contract. Oh, all the people that Trump screwed on the casino redo, remember? All the small guys that never got paid for doing the work, putting the drinks in, painting it, building it, fixing it up. He screwed a lot of people. I hope they're still pissed and don't vote for the Republicans that Trump endorsed.
Indeed. On to Ohio. It should be a routine win for Republicans in a red state like Ohio, but the state's vote solidly Republican in two consecutive presidential elections, so this race was never supposed to be as close as it has been. So Democrats nominated Tim Ryan, who's 49 years old, a congressman, 10-term congressman in the House of Representatives, a 2020 presidential candidate, great orator, great debater. Republicans chose J.D. Vance, who's 38 years old, a venture capitalist who achieved widespread fame with his best-selling 2016 memoir-turned Netflix film, Hillbilly Elegy. There's a one-point difference between both men. Once a so-called never-Trumper, Mr. Vance now enthusiastically embraces Donald Trump, or as a former president described J.D. Vance, quote, J.D. is kissing my ass. He wants my support so bad, end quote. So the novice politician has stumbled on the campaign trail, and Mr. Ryan, who once challenged Speaker Nancy Pelosi for a leadership gathering in the House, has kept the pressure on. So outside spending by Republican groups in keeping Mr. Vance afloat in the final weeks of the campaign, assailing his opponent in advertisements as fake as moderates, who fully support what they describe as a Democrat's radical agenda. So, you know, J.D. Vance is muddying up the waters by, you know, calling Ryan a radical Democrat. What's so radical about wanting health care? What's so radical about putting money in public schools? You know, what's your thought, Lori, on this race? It's a one-point difference between both men.
I don't understand. Once again, we go back to what is wrong with one better for people? What is wrong with better education? What is wrong with better roads? What is wrong to have better bridges and you know, your infrastructure and your clean water? I mean, what is wrong with all of that? Why don't people understand that at this point, if you are voting Republican, you're voting against your best interest. That's the only thing that I can say. You're voting against your best interest for your family, for your, you know, for women's health. You know, it goes all the way down the line, and I don't understand why it's so close. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't figure it out. I don't have the answer as to, you know, and they're already talking about if they come into power, they're already talking about proposals to cut Social Security and Medicare. I mean, Rick Scott is, he's a poster child for that. So let's think, please, if you haven't voted, you have to think about generation or your children or your grandchildren. They need better lives too.
And Republican voters out there listening, you know, you have Social Security too. You have Medicare, Medicaid. They're going to take that away from you. Do you want that? You know, why would you vote for somebody who wants to take away your Social Security? Why? You know, you work all your life, put in Social Security, so when you retire, you have some cushion, and Republicans want to take it back. You know, that's nonsense. Why would you support Republicans?
They say,
you know,
they
that don't make any sense.
No, they don't want to reform it. They want to privatize it. They want
exactly.
To,
so the corporations
They go one step further. They said they want to abolish Social Security. That's what Rick Scott said.
But then some of them are saying they want to privatize it, which amounts to getting screwed anyways. So they will hire a company to run it, and then they'll run it to the ground and charge you more, or you get less money that you paid in. And they want to do that with Medicare, too. So they want to – it's a corporation.
I mean, everybody pays for their – monthly for their Medicare. Medicare is not free. You know, you pay for that monthly. You do pay for it monthly. And, you know, and as far as Social Security goes, if you worked in your life, you have paid into that program, that socialist program, and so you can have something, you know, monthly in return. And there is nothing wrong with that, you know, absolutely.
No.
It's your money. With.
Because
it's
the poor people that worked for the car companies during the last crash in 2008, they demolished all their pensions, you know, for the big corporations.
Yes.
Oh, we can't afford it anymore. Screw the workers, you know. So what do they have left? Social Security and Medicare. And they paid into it. We all paid into it. And it's our money, not theirs, and we got it coming.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Right.
You know? Do you have another race, David? Are you going down the line?
Oh, yes. New Hampshire is a deep blue state. It would be embarrassing for Republicans beat Democrats here because Republican strategists that toiled and recruited the ideal candidate for the Senate race against Maggie Hassan. Maggie Hassan is former governor. No, she's a U.S. senator. Republicans chose Don Baldock, B-O-L-D-U-C, Baldock. I don't know how you pronounce that. He's a retired Army general who served for 10 tours in Afghanistan. He's polling within striking distance of Senator Maggie Hassan, the incumbent. This Mr. Baldock, who was an Army general, has many fringe views, but he's backed away from the most controversial one. That Mr. Trump won the 2020 election, but, you know, he's anti-abortion, he is anti-labor, and all that good stuff. So voters in the states are also unhappy with inflation, raising energy costs, and Mr. Hassan's performance in the Senate. Now, I think she's been doing a damn good job, Maggie Hassan, in the U.S. Senate. She's 64 years old. She's campaigning to protect abortion access. But she has been on the back foot as Donald Trump, who endorsed Baldock. On Monday this past, the National Republicans focusing their attention on this contest keenly. So a Baldock win would embarrass the Democrats who spent money boosting his campaign to win the Republican nomination, betting that he would do extremely well. And he may beat Maggie Hassan. That's what the media is saying.
And the media is always wrong. Let's say that in 2016. You know, start with Elaine first. You know, do you think Maya Hassan will lose this race?
I don't know anything about that particular race. I'm I can't comment. I wish I could, but I can't.
Laurie, what do you think about this New Hampshire race?
I think we're going to win in New Hampshire. I just have this feeling. You know, I mean, there has to be some common sense out there. And New Hampshire seems to, you know, I think there's a lot of voters in New Hampshire that I think they will, it's going to work for New Hampshire. I'm not worried about New Hampshire for some reason. I don't know why. I'm just not.
Yeah, traditionally Democrats, you know, Democrats traditionally win New Hampshire. Susan, what are your thoughts on New Hampshire?
Elaine, I don't know anything about it. I haven't been following that.
I'm
hoping Democrats win and they keep it blue.
Now to the Grand Canyon State, Arizona, Mark Kelly versus Republican Blake Masters. Blake Masters, who's 36 years old, openly pushes for the so-called big lie that Donald Trump keeps telling about he won the election and it was stolen from him. He calls himself America First conservative. This guy Blake Masters, he is a Christian nationalist. He's fairly critical of big tech and opposed the USA to Ukraine, and called for the federalization of Bitcoin. You know, he seeks to defend a democratic held seat by Mark Kelly, so this race is like 3-4 points, you know, separating the two men.
It's close, yeah.
Do you think Mark Kelly will win convincingly in Arizona? Because already in Arizona, as you say, the drop boxes, people are like camping out in camouflage and taking license plate number and taking people's pictures.
It's crazy.
And the judge ruled against that. You know, the judge ruled against people like them, you know, and lawsuits has been filed already. So Arizona, is this in a blue column, you think, Laurie, or too close to call for you?
Arizona scares me. I mean, I never thought Arizona was so wacky with, you know, I mean, look who's running for governor there. It's pretty scary there. I'm hoping I'm hoping he wins. I'm hoping that he pulls it out. I don't know. I don't know in Arizona. Scary there. It really is. I don't understand Arizona so much. What do you think? Do you think he can pull it off? I think Kelly, I mean, I'm hoping that he can pull it off again. I'm hoping.
What he's got think? A good rep. I think he will. The other guy's Looney Tunes. And I don't understand what these poll watchers are. Benson just got a law passed that these poll watchers can't be doing. They have strict regulations, and it just went through. A judge approved it in Michigan. So that's a good thing for all the people that are working the polls. I mean, you're doing helping out our government, and then you got to worry about being threatened and questioned and all that. That's not good.
This is nuts. She made an announcement today that the you know, for people not to worry about voting, they have all their security in place. I mean, she was very serious today, and she said the election will be fair. And if there, you know, she has.
It's always been fair.
Huh?
It's all these crazies coming out of the woodwork that says it isn't. I mean,
absolutely.
I did it twice, and you have to go through so much to learn about it, and you see how many triple, quadruple check. There's no way that it can be manipulated. It's all bullshit. And he's even stepping up security for the workers, you know, like down in Detroit and stuff. They have to. Up here, it's not so much, but down there,
absolutely.
Two more races to talk about. Cher Beasley in North Carolina, Democrat. She served as Chief Justice for the State Supreme Court and won three previous statewide elections. The Republican who's challenging her for the open seat is Ted Budd. He's 50 years old, a gun store owner, who is among 147 Republicans in Congress who voted against certifying the 2020 election results last year. So Mr. Budd was lifted out of the relatively obscurity by Trump endorsement early in the election cycle, and he has tied his opponent to President Biden's unpopular economic agenda. So North Carolina has sent a Democrat to U.S. Senate, hasn't sent a Democrat to U.S. Senate since 2008. So if Cher Beasley's competitiveness has flown under the radar with national Democrats offering her few resources, do you think it may come down to money? You know, if Bud wins, he will have to convince enough people in North Carolina, because there are 2 million unaffiliated voters in the state, that are independent and they're registered, and hopefully most of them vote, and hopefully they'll vote Democratic. Do you think North Carolina will go to Cher Beasley?
I hope so.
Same here. So
hard to know in these states what these people are thinking.
Well, she's got the resume.
Well, it's a popular gun state. Her resume is good, but remember, it's a gun state, and you know how those good old boys love their guns and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
it is a gun state. Yes, you're absolutely
right. You know, so I'm not saying Cher Beasley won't win, but she's raising some good funds to challenge Bud, who's a lapdog to Donald Trump, basically. So, too close to call for me at this point. Election night will be interesting.
I've got a question for everybody.
Yes.
Why are all these polls so close? Something all of a sudden is not gelling in my head.
I've
never seen an election where every poll is this close.
The super PAC one is. You know, because the on the right, the super PAC monies come from basically the DeVos, the Koch brothers, people like those, you know, of their ilk, and they're pumping money into the radio stations, TV ads, social media, you know. So, I mean, just last week, remember last show, Laurie, where, you know, on the right, the super PACs on the right have spent $1 billion already. And this is an off-presidential year. $1 billion. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's madness.
What is the matter? Look how many people that would feed. How many people could go get a thorough examination, a health check, and make sure they're in good health? I can't stand this, fathom some of this. And the Republicans are the party of family values. My ass.
Exactly. Last one. In Wisconsin, is a key swing state and sharply divided. It was razor thin when Democrats, you know, the biggest target in an election cycle is Wisconsin, besides North Carolina. And Ron Johnson, the Republican, is up for re-election. You know, do you think Mandela Barnes, a Democrat, can upset this bigwig in the Republican Party? Because Ron Johnson was saying that it was tourists who came to the Capitol on January 6th, you know, and then he changed it to Antifa, dressed as Trump people, you know. You know,
well, if anybody have a brain in their head, they'll get rid of him. I mean, he isn't worth 2 cents. He hasn't done a damn thing. He lies through his teeth. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't deserve to be in office.
And he's very anti-abortion, though, this guy. You know?
Yep. Well, most of them are. Most of them are that are.
Yeah, true.
Well, you
got to
do the Heil Hitler and follow the line, you know?
I think all of them are. Did you hear any of them that are pro-choice?
Yeah, but Ron Johnson especially. Ron Johnson especially. I'm saying Ron Johnson especially is anti-abortion. What am I saying? You know, and, you know, in the primaries, and you know, he is very adamant in like.
You know what kills me on that is that if any of their kids got raped or their wife got raped or they didn't want a kid, they'd be in another state having an abortion. It's the poor people and the ones that can't afford to do it that it suffers. But the rich people can get an abortion anywhere they want. And that's not right. So it's anti-abortion for poor people and the regular people.
So,
when I was a kid, if anybody from any of the churches got pregnant, they would always take this, they'd get a little pudgy, and they would take this trip to Europe, and then they would come back all slim and trim. So, you know, it wasn't too hard to figure out.
Yeah, I can't go to Mexico and have an abortion.
And the Republicans say they don't want big government, but they can be in your bedroom and they can be in your doctor's office. I mean, you know, give me a break.
Yeah, yeah, sick people. Sick people.
Well, I'm going to be clearer than that. They don't want big government, but they're crawling in between every female's legs.
The obsessed with the vagina.
I mean, listen,
I wonder if they had a law that men had to be castrated or something if they would have the government in their office. You know, would they do the rules on that?
Seems to me I got into an argument with somebody last phone call about that. I asked him if he had a vasectomy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, they're still, they didn't pass the Equal Rights Amendment for women, equal work for equal pay. They haven't done it.
Right.
I mean, what the hell?
For 50 damn years and into that, you know?
Yet
still, some of them will still vote Republican. What the hell is happening? Seriously. Well, anyway, ladies, thank you for calling in. Kelly.
You have a good night, you guys.
Elaine and Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes,
thank you,
good night, David.
Bye,
good night, Lori.
Bye.
Good night. Talk to you all again.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so just over 15 minutes left and everything. Okay, so in a final analysis, with 5 days to go to the election, it's way too close to call, way too early to call. There are over 40 seats in the House alone. That's too close to call. You know, and Democrats have like a 11 or 12 seat majority. Hopefully, we can get like a 20 seat majority to have a good cushion and everything. What's your thoughts?
Oh, that's my hope. That is my hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we can wake up Wednesday morning and, you know, have a blue sky, a blue house, Senate, and, you know, that's the hope. I don't think it's a ridiculous hope at all. You know, I think it's possible. I think young people are going to come out. I've said this before. I think women are going to come out. A lot of first-time voters that the younger generation, they are definitely, you know, want the gun laws to be changed. I mean, I was listening today, and I mean, so I think there's a lot more going on, and you know we pay attention to don't pay attention to polls. I just think they're, but I know that people do pay attention to them, and maybe some races are too close to call. But let's hope that at the end, you know, all these ballots that have already been placed and mailed in. There's I can't remember how many million I saw it today. But
42 million.
I thought it was 42 million. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's what I read. 42 million. So that's something. I mean, that's
Yes.
That's a big number. So let's do it.
Let's take this last call with 15 minutes left. Madeline calling from Michigan. Hello, Madeline. What's cooking?
Hello, everybody. Sorry for the voice. Hi, Lori.
I know. You poor thing.
Who else is? I just got on. Who else was with you guys? Is Susie there?
About four or five people there earlier, but, you know, 15 minutes left, so we'll have to wrap up and everything.
Yeah.
So what's your thoughts on the election on Saturday's time?
Any thought? Well, I just got done listening to the news. They were talking about on how they were trying to make sure that it's the safety, the factor, and how, you know, my head is still like in a all clogged up. Since the ballots have already been cast in Michigan, it's unbelievable. It's amazing, and I'm a little nervous because Lori and I, we talked about it today. I am, but I'm positive. I truly, truly do believe people care enough and they're intelligent enough to know that some of this BS is out there. I just got done seeing 2 to 6 and another stupid advertising for her. And all they do is complain. No policies, just complain. Well, you know, anybody can do that. That's like kids on a playground. They call each other names. So
I agree.
I'm hoping that other people see this as well. People, get educated. Get educated. Read your policies. Read the provisions. Pay attention to what they're saying. Hold their feet to the fire and don't listen to these maniacs who are constantly just bad mouthing everybody else. And not giving any info. That's the way I feel, and I'm looking forward to Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to Tuesday. So
That's right.
Absolutely. And that's all you can hold on to right now.
Yes, true,
And then there are Garland. Merrick Garland brings down the hammer.
After the elections, hopefully.
Yes, let's hope.
Well, you know what? I don't think the 1-6 committee is going to not be effective in any way, shape, or form. I truly do believe that they went through all of this, and Garland will pick it up from there. I really think they did their job.
I think he has to wait for political reasons. He's waiting. He's waiting for this to be done because if you think about it, if they would have done something before, then they would have screamed, politics.
It was political.
Sort of thing. This way, he's doing the smart thing.
First thing is, they're going to say after the elections. They're going to say the same thing after the elections. If and when Democrats win a majority in both chambers of the Congress and Garland dropped the hammer and everything, Trumpers and QAnon and those other assholes will say the same thing. Oh, it was political, you know, even if it's before or after the election. So, you know, there's no way escaping that.
But at least we can say he didn't do anything before the election, so screw you, you know. Take that.
Exactly. We didn't play dirty.
I wanted to say one thing. Paul Pelosi was released from the hospital today.
Yes, he was.
He remains under doctor's care. He is continuing to progress. It's going to be a long recovery for him, but he is back at home. The speaker said today in a statement in her office. So continue good health to Paul Pelosi. I hope he recovers, completely. I hope the person that that did this to him gets the maximum sentence.
Well, that person is not a citizen. So wherever he's from, just send his ass back.
He's from Canada.
Oh, better. Oh, really?
She's from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he was sitting here or not. But
yeah,
yeah,
he's from Canada. I read that too. He's from Canada.
Yeah.
He's a QAnon from Canada. Yeah.
Yep.
Spiritual theorist. All right. So thank you for calling, Madeline.
Thank you, Matt.
Nice to talk to you, Dave.
Talk to you. Feel better, girl.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that was Madeline in Michigan. A lot of Michigan callers today. Jeez. Where's New Mexico? Where's Ohio? What's going on? Damn it. Call in. Stop being shy. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not taking more private messages unless you call in. Seriously, people. Okay, so I want to play this last ad by Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's running for re-election to the governor of New Mexico. Her Republican opponent is Mark Anchette, who's running on Daddy's Money. No political experience. She's a weatherman locally for KOAB TV. And this is Grisham's ad, 30-second ad.
I'm Michelle Lujan Grisham, and I approve this message. As a TV weatherman, Mark Lanchetti got paid to talk, and he'll talk about almost anything.
Except how his plan would force billions in cuts to education, police,
and health care.
Billions in cuts.
Hurting all New Mexicans.
Either Mark Lanchetti doesn't know what his plan actually costs, or he doesn't want us to know.
He modeled his whole campaign after another former TV personality. Mark Lanchetti shouldn't be governor.
Yes, indeed. A lot of them shouldn't be governors or senators or congresspeople or even city council, much less dog catcher. These Republicans are sickening. These Republicans are fascists. Not semi-fascists, you know, fascists. Hitler would have been proud. Mussolini would have been proud. So America, go there next week Tuesday. Vote Democrat straight line. Straight party ticket Democrat. All the way from Alabama to Wyoming and everywhere in between, vote Democratic because our democracy depends on it. This is no joke. I mean, we can like ban our bellies and like fight through these gas prices and hopefully something, you know, will come about where we'll get lower gas prices and inflation will go down over time. But we cannot get back our democracy. Fight people. Go out there, stand in the line if you must, and do not move because your vote counts. We need Republicans out. They've done said what they're going to do when they go in there, which is total horseshit because it's not moving America forward. Joe Biden is in New Mexico, touring with Michelle Lujan Grisham. She's going to win. Big Gretch in Michigan is going to win. Mandela Barnes in Wisconsin going to win for the U.S. Senate. Cherry Beasley in North Carolina going to make history, become, you know, John Fetterman, you know, in Pennsylvania. Oprah endorsed him over Oz, you know, that puppy killer, that son of a bitch. Where else? In Ohio, J.D. Vance is going to go down in flames because he sold out his dignity and has no self-respect. When Donald Trump said that, oh, you know, J.D.'s kissing my ass. Vote for the Democrat, Tim Ryan. You make a damn good governor. He's a good orator. He's a good speaker. He is a damn good congressman. He represented Ohio well. You know, who else am I forgetting? So many of them, you know. Just vote Democrat.
Beto in Texas. You know,
Beto O'Rourke in Texas. We're trying to get him on a show,
Beto,
but you know,
Texas.
He's so booked and everything. Mark Kelly in Arizona.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and we're working also. Sorry, go ahead.
Stacey Abrams in Georgia.
Raphael Warnock in Georgia. Charlie Crist in Florida against that Nazi. The Satan, as you call him. You know, a lot of key races will have to win. Democracy depends on it. The cast state that's
Rubio needs
clearer.
To go down in flames as well. Rubio needs to go down in flames.
Yes, yes. And working on a website soon. The website will be coming out hopefully before the end of the year, God's willing. And it's going to be linked up to our facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Hopefully, I'll find the time to start blogging again because people need to know the truth. You know, and you know, too much is at stake here. Pianke, I'll get in touch with you in Louisiana, in Missouri. And we thank Pianke and everybody for calling. You know, Susie. Who else?
Elaine. Pianke. Everyone who supports the show. We're grateful.
And Madeline.
Yes, Susie.
Yes, yes.
And we're grateful.
Yeah.
Everyone gets in and helps out. And we're only doing this so that we can, you know, keep our democracy going. We do this so that people are informed. We do this because we care. We care about our country. We care about people. We want fairness. We want our children and our grandchildren to grow up in a better world, you know, not a planet that's dissolving, you know. So let's do the right thing. Let's vote. Let's vote for Democrats. Let's get this going.
Exactly. Yeah, too much is at stake.
Very much
at stake. Too much is at stake. We can do better than what Republicans are offering, which is nothing.
Yeah.
Republicans are offering nothing. Tim Ryan was on Fox News recently, and the audience gave him a standing ovation because his speech was so great and what he plans to do as governor of Ohio. So hopefully that translates into votes. Because J.D. Vance is clueless. He is a stooge of Donald Trump. Ohio don't deserve that. You know?
No.
Pennsylvania next door do not deserve Oz, because Oz is an idiot and a money whore, basically. And Marge Greene in the 14th District of Georgia. Hopefully America can happen and she'll lose that seat. Marco Rubio against Val Demings. Val Demings, a former police chief of police in Florida, who has experience. You know, Marco Rubio is going down, hopefully. That would be so good to see. So good to see.
I would love to see him go down. You know, Val Demings deserves to win that seat. She does deserve to win that seat. She has,
Marco Rubio is like a whiny bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like a whiny bitch.
She has an impeccable. Good night, everyone.
I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Happy birthday to Rose in Ohio. I hope you had a great day and a great night with your family. Till next time, join us again next Monday, same time, same place, Blog Talk Radio, for Kitchen Politics 123. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Tecca from Michigan. Everyone, if you haven't voted, get out there and vote on Tuesday, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.
on a small ranch in Valencia County. My first body shop was in my backyard. Since then, I've owned three of them. I know about hard work. But the hardest working person I know is my wife. She lived in tough times and was there for her daughters. Man, if I could just get her to come home from work earlier.
I'm Michelle Mahan Grisham, and I approve this message.
Ella es uno de nosotros.